I have a reading from Henry Ward Beecher, who was the brother of Harriet Beecher Snow. Flowers have an expression of countenance as much as people or animals. Some seem to smile, some have a sad expression, some are pensive and diffident. Others, again, are plain, honest, and upright, like the hollyhock or the broad-faced sunflower. I present to you a story I've written, The Parable of the Sunflower. Once there was a woman who loved the earth and most of the beings on it. Although she believed in their right to live, she did not love so much snakes or ticks or poison ivy. But working magic with the earth to bring about flowers and vegetables, proud inhabitants of verdant garden boxes, these things she loved dearly. Sunflowers, in life and in paintings, always made her smile. The woman found herself living in a place that held magical secrets, like elms that conquered disease and crows that ran meetings, human friendships and family bonds that existed for eons, views that could restore a hurting soul. Castine was its name, and beauty was everywhere. She arrived midsummer and began to plan for the garden next year. Amid bitter chill, blowing winds, and frequent storms, her birthday came just a few days after midwinter, the Feast of Brigid. Her fondest gift was a $50 card to buy all the seeds she could ever want. She imagined, with her taste buds and her mind's eye, all the bounty that would come from the raised boxes in her side yard. This woman was a minister living quite a public life in the village. Ministry was her field, but dreaming about, then working for, better days was her true gift. And she had quite an imagination. She was practical and realistic about the real world and its complications, hardships, and sorrows, but still, she could also imagine a better world. When she sat down that evening in February of 2025 to start sprouting seedlings, she approached the process with excitement and care. The family had missed the gardening process while they had 3 summers of wandering. It was good to have landed in a spot where they could reasonably anticipate staying long enough to reap what they sowed. Careful, thoughtful mapping of the sun's patterns over the garden, plus charts of good companions for planting, led the woman and her family to have a thoughtful layout for this small, new to them, patch of earth. Long LED bulbs were tied to the underneath of shelves to encourage seeds underneath to grow. Her plant babies were on shelves under the lights to break through the dirt and begin their lives indoors before the outdoors could bring forth such life. How much room in the raised box would each plant need once it was mature? And should they have vertical support? And how many of each type should be planted? Lots of tomatoes and peppers, maybe an eggplant or two. Diversity is good. Consideration for how many of each vegetable its plant would yield was also calculated. An entire evening was spent putting seeds into small pots. As they planted, they laughed and remembered the year that birds pulled up every single bulb planted. The year they bought a huge pumpkin and put it on their pumpkin vine to fool Dad after he had been gone a week. That one year when every pepper plant exploded with abundance. She remembered the bumper sticker going out to the garden door. Gardening is cheaper than therapy, and you get tomatoes. Laughter, conversation, wine, it was quite a planting party. That night, she dreamed of giant sunflowers. The woman had a neighbor in her old neighborhood who did not like sunflowers at first, but grew to find them cheerful. The woman had strategically planted rows of them to face the neighbor's house most of the day to smile upon her. The woman missed her old friends, but was hopeful to make new ones too. Sunflowers had made her a friend before. Maybe they would again. Sunflowers are cherished for being signs of dedication, strength, and friendship. Another dream reminded her of living apart from her garden and her kids. Her husband would shuttle back and forth from east to west and back east with love from the kids and tomatoes from the garden. Waking from the dream, she felt happy and reconnected to Earth's bounty. She felt recharged. By May, the seeds turned to plants. The earth kept getting warmer, and daily life in the village continued. Sometimes the church next door would fly the Ukrainian flag, whose national symbol is the sunflower. The flowers were sown all over the Chernobyl nuclear waste site, and all these years later, still help pull the toxins from the ground. In Ukraine, they symbolize peace and renewal. She started a few more inside for the garden. About a week before the plants would go into the ground, the family and this woman received a huge gift of poop. Compost. Not just any compost, but enough goat poop compost and chicken poop compost to fill 3 of the 4 boxes. Not wanting to take up precious box space with those giant guardians, she planned for them to be in cinder block holes by the fence. It was right and fitting to have 2 shoots together, as sunflowers are meant to be grown and delivered in pairs. While a single rose signifies love, 2 sunflowers let someone we care about deeply, a friend or lover, let them know that we will always be there for them to double the joy and divide the pain. June was coming along when she noticed something odd. All of her special sweet red pepper plants she so anticipated had reached about 2 feet tall and were more like a single shoot than the spreading bush-like plant she expected. They almost looked like sunflower leaves. 2 more weeks went by, and they grew another foot taller, and they were definitely sunflowers. How had this happened? Did the plants get mismarked? Was the wine more free-flowing than she remembered on planting night? Had the spirit of the garden decided it wanted more flowers than food? Should she rip them out and plant more vegetables? The woman, guided by spiritual beliefs, being clergy and pagan, went into some deep research and meditation about what to do next. Turning to Van Gogh, who is a favorite of the family. Van Gogh, who the family dearly, dearly loved, had painted them. She read about his feelings, knowing that he too served as clergy before settling down into painting. She looked for answers in Van Gogh's words about tearing things out and starting over. Oh, but instead she found this. Separated from his artist friends, Paul Gauguin and Emile Bernard, who were working in France, Van Gogh painted his iconic sunflowers. He said, "How I'd like to spend these days in Brittany with you, but anyway, I console myself by considering the sunflower," he wrote to Bernard. Van Gogh not only sought personal solace in his art, but he also hoped, perhaps even dared to expect, that his work could offer relief to others. Painting numerous renderings of the flowers in fields, in vases, in pictures, grouped in various numbers but never solo, he covered the walls of his yellow house with paintings of the flowers to welcome his friend and inspiration, Paul Gauguin. He wrote to his brother Theo, "Well, The paintings will perhaps one day be irrevocably separated, but looked at as a whole, you'll see what I've been striving for then, I hope. You'll have a comforting impression of it. So the last one is light on light and will be the best, I hope. I'll probably not stop there. In the hope of living in a studio of our own with Gauguin, I'd like to do a decoration for the studio, nothing but large sunflowers. The woman sat in her garden and listened. The crows, the breeze, the garden, all of them whispered to her about these wrong plants. Devotion, strength, friendship. If she let them stay in her garden, this is what they promised. Devotion. They are admired for how vigilantly they follow the sun every day from east to west and back again each morning. Had they been prophesied in her dream of her devoted husband going east to west and back again, like the flowers? These flowers had been a mistake, yet they had value. And they were whispering to her an invitation into their community. She would let them live. As they grew taller, with no signs of flowering, she was truly puzzled because she had not even possessed seeds for the mammoths, only shorter, fuller, thinner hybrid bushes. But these stalks were strong and thick and clearly headed for the sky. She worried that people in church and around town would find them too country, too simple for this elegant coastal town. Before she could worry too long, they started blooming 10 feet up. And their undeniable strength claimed center stage. At the top of their 10-foot stalks, each one had spread out into a bush of multiple blooms. That summer, there would be no peppers, no eggplant, no summer squash. Strength is a great characteristic, but it must be used carefully. The sunflowers grew on, disregarding that they kept the sun from others, mercilessly cheerful. While she mourned the loss of peppers, eggplants, and summer squash, she noticed that the crows were congregating regularly now in the yard. They held raucous, noisy meetings. She imagined they were planning for when the giants turned to seed and how delicious those seeds would be. Strength can wear many faces, like beaks or wings. Making friends with crows was spiritual protection she had hoped to cultivate, and the sunflowers were vouching for her to the crows. Devotion, strength, and friendship. These renegade flowers had displayed dedication to the sun as her family practiced their own dedication and devotion, as she preached on dedication and devotion. The flower strength taught her to remember and maintain empathy for others, even as one's own strength increases. The third trait, friendship, became apparent as she encountered people from all over town and visitors, making friends wherever she went. She felt a little bit like the Lupin Lady, because now all over town, she was the one with the sunflowers you could see from the road. They cheered people up. In August, when she filled vases and took them to local businesses, new relationships blossomed. The end of the season came right before Maybon, the end of September, the beginning of fall. Their final act was to be a dozen centerpieces, 5 or 6 in a mason jar with ribbon for her mother-in-law's 75th birthday party. Just as Van Gogh wanted them everywhere for Gauguin, the jars of bouquets filled the church hall with color and cheer. Just last week, the woman prepared to start over, not questioning the mysteries, just happy to begin again. Seeds and pots were gathered, and then came the real lessons. And they weren't about how to mark the plants more carefully. It is not about being sure to honor the sunflowers. We are best when we are like them. Devotion, strength, and friendship, devoted to that which guides us, following our source of life all day, every day. Strength that sustains us while being aware of how that strength has the ability to help or harm. And friendship, the life source that we are free to accept and wise to offer freely. Waking from the dream, she felt happy and reconnected to Earth's bounty. She felt recharged and hopeful for this year's bumper crop of who knows what.